is Matt Connickson. I'm a sales agronomist with CHX Ag Services in Oakley, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHX Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Thursday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Tyler Donaldson, along with Randy Conan and Melissa Hammer. The Midwest will see regular rounds of rain and snow over the next 2 weeks, with the most significant event advertised for next Wednesday through Friday. World Weather Incorporated says the heaviest rains will fall in the eastern Corn Belt along and south of the Ohio River. Snow cover is expected to increase in the northern plains over the next 2 weeks, with temperatures trending colder during the second week of the two-week outlook. Highs will range in the 20 to low 40s this week, with and then drop to the teens to low 30s next week. Morning lows are expected to range from the negative single digits to lower positive teens Monday through Wednesday.
The first condition rating of the winter wheat crop this year was the lowest it had ever been. U.S. Wheat Associates market analyst Tyler Ledford says some timely rains created a total flip in those conditions.
49% of the crop is in the good to excellent category, and so that's a 5-point jump week over week, and it's actually the highest crop rating in 5 years for this time. So in a very short time, we went from very poor crop condition ratings to a much more positive outlook, and I think the rains were a bit late to incentivize more planting of winter wheat. However, it came at a really crucial time just before the winter wheat goes into dormancy. Now it's in a much better position as it goes dormant and establishes a really strong root system before the winter.
Ledford says anything can happen between now and next harvest.
The emergence and the establishment before is important, but there is kind of a long-standing trend to show that the crop conditions at this time really don't have a strong correlation with the final yields. Of course, you know, moisture is never a bad thing, and, you know, if this moisture is able to, you know, hold in the soil over the winter, that's excellent. But yeah, there's not a super strong correlation between the conditions at this time and our final yields. I mean, it's not about how much rain, it's all about when the rains fall.
The two-week outlook for Brazil and Paraguay remains favorable for crop development. World Weather Incorporated expects regular rounds of rain and thunderstorms to bring enough rain to maintain or improve soil moisture. Temperatures are expected to be seasonal, with highs ranging from the upper 70s to mid-90s most days. Argentina will continue to see more sunshine than rain over the next 2 weeks, with a close watch on a weather system Sunday through Wednesday that is expected to bring much-needed timely rains. World Weather says if the system were to falter, crop stress would likely increase and expand across western and central Argentina.
The future of the Farm Bill remains unknown. American Farm Bureau Director of Government Affairs Joe Gilson has been analyzing Chairwoman Stabenow's version for the pros and cons.
Chairwoman Stabenow released her bill as a vision for what the next Farm Bill should look like. You know, within that bill, we're still going through it. It's over 1,400 pages, but there are some things that we like. There is an increase in reference prices. There is more funding for conservation programs at USDA. I think the reality is there's some strong headwinds that are facing the likelihood of this getting to final passage in this Congress. And with her, her retiring at the end of this Congress, there's still a lot of questions around what's the future for the Farm Bill.
Gilson says a bipartisan bill is needed if they want to get a Farm Bill passed.
Chairman Thompson in the House did a great job of getting bipartisan support for his bill, and so I would imagine that that is going to be the starting point for him as he begins putting together a bill for next Congress. I think the reality is we know that any Farm Bill is going to have to be a bipartisan bill. The next Congress looks like Republicans will have a very slim majority in the House, and you still need 60 votes in the Senate to get a Farm Bill done. And so we're going to have a bipartisan bill come across the finish line, and I think we can start with where Chairman Thompson left it this Congress, with a bipartisan bill out of his committee.
A change in administration generally brings uncertainty as it relates to agricultural policy. The Russell Group president, Randy Russell, is excited to see what happens for agriculture with so many strong leaders throughout the federal government.
Well, I remember doing previous farm bills when Bob Dole was a majority leader or the minority leader, and obviously a great advocate for agriculture as well as nutrition programs, and how important it was to have a leader who understood production agriculture and was an advocate for it. And that's exactly what we're getting with John Thune. I mean, I don't think from an agriculture perspective we could have asked for a better leader. He knows biofuels. He knows the farm programs, conservation programs, trade and promotion programs. I think we'll be very blessed to have him in the leader's office as we try to deal with a farm bill on the Senate floor next year.
Russell is hopeful that President-elect Trump would choose a strong advocate for the Secretary of Agriculture.
What I sincerely hope is that we get somebody that is a strong advocate for production agriculture. I think that's a voice we really need right now. And I know President-elect Trump knows this is a natural constituency of his that has strongly supported him. In fact, from information I've got, it looks like about 69% of the rural vote went for Donald Trump this time. And every time he's run, that percentage has increased. So it's a core constituency of his, and hopefully we'll get a decision here in the next day or two.
The North Dakota Grain Growers Association will be looking for a new executive director. Kayla Pulvermacher has accepted a new role as government relations manager for Midco. Pulvermacher joined the Grain Growers in July of 2023, succeeding longtime executive Dan Wagsland.
USDA's Grain Transportation Report says U.S. Class 1 railroads originated 28,000 grain carloads during the week ending November 9th. That's down 1% from the previous week, but 3% more than a year ago. The average November shuttle secondary railcar bids offers were $75 below tariff. You are listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Thursday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. Speaking at the University of North Dakota's Tax Practitioners Institute in Fargo, Kansas-based Washburn University School of Law professor Roger McGowan is watching what Congress does post-election closely.
I think in the near term, in the lame duck session, there are some things that must pass, some things that are likely to pass, and some things that are unlikely to pass. They do need to do a budget bill. That's a must, or we face another government shutdown. And they do need to do disaster relief. So I put those two categories in the must-pass. And then the question becomes, will they tag any tax provisions into those must-pass pieces? And that's an unknown at this point in time. I don't know about that.
McGowan thinks we could see quick movement on tax policy provisions in the new Congress.
I don't think that things will get bogged down. The what they call the never Trumpers pretty much are no longer there in the House. So even though you have a very slim majority, that majority is a little different than it was one or two Congresses ago, or when Trump was in there the first time and had a majority in the House and maybe in the Senate. There were some that were opposed to him on the Republican side. Those people are pretty much gone, and that will make tax policy, I think, easier to get through in this Congress. And that's what we're all hoping for from a tax preparer standpoint. We just would like certainty as to where we're headed with policy, and the sooner we know that, the better.
Long Prairie livestock owner Brad Thielen says there's a lot of high-quality cattle running through his auction barn in Minnesota.
Well, I'd say compared to normally, you know, our runs are definitely bigger. We got bigger runs, probably one of the very fewest ones in Minnesota with bigger runs. Market-wise, prices are good. Buyers, sellers, you got a pretty nice selection. Yep, I'd say quality's excellent. The farmers we got left are doing a good job. Not many keeping heifers back as far as that goes with prices on feeders, but I would say our bigger runs are just due to the fact that we're independently owned. We're the only one that owns the place, and we're family-run.
Thielen says the increase in beef on dairy is causing a tighter supply for dairy heifers.
Lots of dairy farmers are breeding their cattle beef and selling them baby calves. You know, if they bring a Holstein calf to town, they're bringing $400 to $550. A beef grouse, they're bringing $700 to $900. So of course, the dairy cattle are getting older, so the replacement dairy cattle are getting higher. the big dairies are sex semen in, and they're breeding balance to beef to get more bang for their bucks. So, yeah, a lot less dairy heifers and bigger demand, a lot higher. We sold Springer heifers last week up to 3,900.
Growth Energy and Clean Fuels Alliance America is back in court challenging EPA and its failure to fully account for small refinery exemptions when issuing renewable volume obligations under the renewable fuel standard. Growth Energy CEO Emily Score said billions of gallons worth of demand have been lost due to EPA's mismanagement of the renewable fuel standard.
USDA's weekly export sales report for the week ending November 14th shows corn sales for export at 1.49 million metric tons, 14% more than the previous week, but 40% less than the four-week average. Corn shipments were up 37% from the previous week. Soybean exports, export sales, 1.86 million metric tons, 20% more than the previous week, 7% less than the four-week average. Soybean shipments, a marketing year high, 2.25 million metric tons, and net wheat sales of 550,000 tons are 45% more than the previous week and 29% more than the four-week average. Wheat shipments, though, a marketing year low, 134,000 metric tons.
Midwest Market Solutions President Brian Hoops thinks the trade is waiting to see if export sales turn into demand.
We didn't really get any surprises out of those export numbers. They were very good, don't get me wrong. And corn, soybean, wheat sales all above last year's numbers. So decent numbers, nothing wrong with them, but it just may be a case where are we going to take these deliveries of these soybeans? It's great to make these sales, but the inspections matter more. We want to make sure that these soybeans that we're selling to China are hitting ships and being sent out on ports. Same with the private export sales. Nothing wrong to have these sales this morning, and it's great to look at. But again, will we actually see these soybean sales turn into shipments?
USDA has extended the application deadline for the Organic Dairy Marketing Assistance Program to December 13th. USDA says this will give organic dairy producers an additional 2 weeks to apply for the program. More information can be found on the Farm Service Agency Dairy Programs webpage. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. It's a busy time for farm policy. Minnesota Farmers Union and the State Farm Bureau groups in North Dakota, Minnesota, and South Dakota all meeting this weekend. When the delegates meet in Bismarck, NDFB Executive Director Jeff Missling expects a lot of discussion about property taxes.
I happened to visit with one of our prominent state senators yesterday at meetings, and he indicated that something like 40-plus bills are coming this legislative session in regard to property tax. So that'll be a huge topic of conversation. And our members are also always concerned about, obviously, the protection of private property rights and numerous other issues on our radar screen always. And so this is the culmination of a lot of work that went into developing our new policy stances. And we are a grassroots organization, so we're excited to hear from our members as to where they want us to head next.
Policy supporting animal agriculture in the state is also expected. Issues debated at the county level move to the state resolutions process and may end up at the American Farm Bureau convention.
Exactly. It's fun to watch. I tell you, there aren't too many opportunities anymore where people can stand up on a delegate floor in a hotel ballroom and just speak their piece, you know, speak what's on their mind and in their hearts. And I'm always invigorated to see that process each year. And that's what guides us. I mean, we then go to work, you know, both in Bismarck here and in Washington, D.C., to try to forward what our members want us to take stances on.
Checking quotes, December wheat Minneapolis down 3.25 cents, 5.88¾. December wheat Chicago down 2.5 cents at 5.50 even. Kansas City's December hard red winter wheat 6 cents lower to 5.55¾. December corn down 3.25 to 4.27 even. March corn down 3.25 as well. May corn down 3.5. January soybeans down 11.25 cents, 9.79¼. March down 12.5. May 12.75 lower. In Winnipeg, January canola is down $21 per metric ton at $5.96.10 Canadian. On the cattle side, December live cattle is down 55 cents, 185.75. February live cattle down 45 cents, 187.47. April live cattle down 12 cents, 189.57. January feeders up $1.12, $253.45. March feeders up 80 cents, $252.20. May feeders up 67 cents, $253.42. December Lane hogs up 20 cents, $80.72. February up 17. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.